I'd like you to take a Bible and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6 on page 130 and 131 if you're using the Pew Bible that's provided there for you. This is Moses speaking. In the future, when your son asks you what is the meaning of the stipulations, decrees, and laws the Lord God has commanded you, tell him we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Before our eyes, the Lord sent miraculous signs and wonders, great and terrible, upon Egypt and Pharaoh and his whole household. But he brought us up out from there to bring us in and give us the land that he promised on oath to our forefathers. The Lord commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear the Lord our God, so that we might always prosper and be kept alive, as is the case today. And if we are careful to obey all this law before the Lord our God as he commanded us, that will be our righteousness. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. From time to time, you and I, especially those of us who are parents, we call other people to obey us. We give commands and we throw those things out there, and our hope is the people who receive them will listen and obey. And sometimes one of the hindrances to our plan working out is we give a command and then it's met with one question, one word. What question do you think that is? Why? Do this. Why? Either I don't want to or nobody else is, or why am I having to do this? And there's some moments where we have reasons as parents. Like every now and then we can articulate off the top of our head, this is why we're doing this. But from time to time we get stumped. From time to time in the moment we're not really sure the appropriate response to that question. And so we respond with what? Because I said so. That's one sign of aging, by the way. When those words first come out of your mouth, you're like, holy cow, I just did that. This thing that I've been so angry about most of my life, I'm now officially stepping into that role. Another sign, as a sidebar, you're getting old. For Father's Day, you want things like ladders. That's what I got this year, right? So there's this thing of when you're like, hey, do this thing, and in the moment you really can't articulate all the whys, or you don't have time, and the only thing you can think to say is just like, because I said so, which is usually not a very satisfactory response. And so much of that answer hinges upon what the other person thinks about I in that sentence. When you say, because I said so, in an ideal, perfect world, the people who hear that, they say, oh yes, this is my loving, wonderful Father who's proven himself to be wise and gracious over the years. And even though he's not going to give me all these reasons as to why, I'm just going to walk in obedience. But we know from our own experience, both as people who, believe it or not, kids, we used to be young, we also struggled with that obedience. That there is a part of us that we want sometimes more rationale and more reasons for our obedience, but that's not always possible. For example, imagine that you have a toddler in your house, and the toddler picks up a fork, and the toddler thinks, you know what, I think it'd be really smart to stick this in the outlet. As a parent, we know that that's not a wise move. And we don't really have the time, or could we really get on the level of the toddler to explain electricity? We're not going to get a YouTube video out and be like, here's what happens if you do that, right? There's a part of us who were like, hey, you don't have the mental ability to understand this. Just take this on honest faith that this is not a good thing for you to do and obey. It could be that we're asking people to think way down the road in a way that they really can't do in this moment. For example, let's say your child, they're a teenager now, and they're like, I am going to have sausage every day for breakfast. And you're like, okay. When you're 50, you may have heart disease. And in that moment, the kid is like, when I'm 50? Like when you're 16 and you're thinking about 50, you might as well, I can't get you to think past Friday night, most less get you to think about when you turn 50 that this is going to be something that you wish you had not done. There's a certain wisdom and experience that you know that something that brings you joy and satisfaction in the short term ultimately is not going to be good for you in the long term. Or imagine you and I are kind of in an action movie. Imagine we're on the top floor of this building and the building is on fire. And there's a river running beside the building. And I look you in the eyes and I say, "We got to jump." And you look back at me and you're like, "Not sure." Right? And I'm like, "No, trust me, I've done this before. We got to go right now. I don't have all the time to explain to you. In this moment, I need you to trust me." That kind of decision, we don't have time to chart. We don't have time to like tell you all the reasons why. There's some things that you're called to that you got to trust the other person to the point of when they say go, we're going. When I was listening to Ethan's children's sermon in the first service, I couldn't help but be taken back to a baseball field. In Little League, let's say 7 years old, right? At the age where the helmets, they look like those big bobbleheads. You know, like if they go this way too far, right? And they're out there and the outcome of the game is serious. And I'm coaching third, and only thing I've tried to wire these kids to do is they find themselves on second base and everybody in the park is just like, "Go, stop, run, go back." And only thing I'm trying to get them to do is just lock in with me, baby. Like, if you come and you get out, that's on me. And in that moment with all those voices, sometimes what happens to them? They just get paralyzed. I remember saying that if there was one thing that I could have developed as a coach is if I could have like some kind of like little video controller and I could just like make them go to third, that would have been the best thing ever. We still would have lost probably, but that would have been so cool. But you get the sense that when you're in life, there are these messages and there are these commands that God gives us. And then there are these moments when you and I get contradictory messages and commands and we find ourselves in that situation of like, okay, how am I going to respond? Am I going to move forward in obedience or not? And I would submit to you that the thing that is at the bottom of that decision towards obedience or disobedience is not all the different pragmatic reasons I can give you for why you should or you should not do something. At the most fundamental level, our decisions to obey and to move forward in obedience are really founded on whether or not we believe that the person giving us the commands is wise enough and knows enough and loves us well enough that whatever step we're taking into the future is one that ultimately will be for our good. When you read Deuteronomy chapter 6, Moses says, "And when the Lord your God brings you into the land that he swore to give you, and when he asks you, why are we doing all these statutes and these commands?" Effectively, he's like preparing them for the question, why? After the generations have gone past that saw this great deliverance from Egypt, and now the people who are learning these statutes and laws weren't there to see it for themselves. And they look up one day and they're like, why are we doing all these things? The answer that you're supposed to give is not, well, let me explain to you X, Y, and Z, and here's the outcome. And if you don't do this, the answer that Moses tells to give them is what? It's based on God's character on display and how he redeemed them. He says, respond to that question by saying, we live this way and we embrace obedience to this peculiar lifestyle because one time we were slaves in Egypt and the Lord delivered us from slavery in Egypt. And he brought us out into this promised land that we now enjoy. And he called us to fear him and to obey these statutes and commands that he gave us for our what? For our good. He called us to obey these commands and these statutes that he's given us for our good. You and I, as we think about the commands and the statutes that God has given us to embrace and to live into in obedience, oftentimes you and I are asking the question, though we may not verbalize it in this way, is God loving? Is he leading me into that which will ultimately satisfy the desires of my heart? And are all the commandments that he's given me, are they really ultimately for my good? And if we don't believe that, you and I are prone to sin and turn away from God's commands and statutes because ultimately you and I think that there's something outside of God's plans for us that will satisfy us. Now think back to the opening chapters of the Bible in Genesis. You and I read the creation account. And after every day that the Lord has created these things, the text says, and God saw that it was what? Good. And then he created Adam and Eve, and he gave them this prohibition. Well, he gave them first permission. He's like, hey, you can have everything out here. All of this stuff I'm giving to you for your enjoyment, but you can't have what? Just the fruit on this one tree. This is off limits to you. And then you might remember when the serpent comes in, and the challenge here really is a challenge to the character of God. That he says, the Lord's not telling the truth. That ultimately he's trying to keep you from being like him. That there is some joy or satisfaction that your heart really longs for, and where it's going to be found is in this fruit. And Eve then, in that moment, has a competing voice. And she starts to listen and she starts to inspect the fruit. There's a part of her where she's like, that seems like a reasonable argument, actually. This fruit is pleasing to the eye. It looks like it's going to be good for me. And so she takes it and she eats it. And the text tells us that when she did, her eyes were open. And in that moment, there is a sin that enters the world that then kind of fractures our relationship with each other, our relationship with God, and with all of creation. And all of the choices that you and I make in the days after that, I think are fundamentally the same choices of whether or not we're going to live into God's call upon our life. We're going to believe that he's created everything, that he knows how it is that you and I are called to function in the world in such a way that our hearts' desires might be met and we might bring him glory. And we're like that kid running around the bases. And it's like, am I going to listen to that guy who's calling me to that base, or am I going to listen to all the other people? And at different seasons of life, let's just be honest, those voices are loud. And at different seasons of life, those voices are sometimes persuasive. And you and I, on the path to obedience, the way that you and I move forward in obedience is stepping back and let's think about the character of God and who he's proven himself to be in our lives to this point. That he's shown himself loving and faithful. That he is a God who knows how you and I are meant to operate best in the world and find ourselves fulfillment in him and who he calls us to be. And we're making that decision now so that when those voices come in that question God's goodness or wisdom or ability to guide us into that which will ultimately satisfy, we listen to his voice, and it's not so much about the tactical whys of this or not that. It's rooted in the character of God, and we say, I'm going to move forward in obedience because of who he is and how he's proven himself to be that in my life. There's so many ways that you and I could kind of hash this out. One of the things that we sometimes talk about in scriptures is even like how we steward our finances. And there's a part of us, we could look at that and we could say, you know, Lord, we appreciate that suggestion about what we're supposed to do with our finances, but it just doesn't really make good rational sense, let's be honest, right? And so there's a way that seems kind of right to us, and we're like, all right, I'm not going to really buy into that part of who you call me to be. I'm going to manage this. And in that moment, there is some belief in our hearts and lives that whatever God's calling us to, it's not wise or it's not good or it's not going to satisfy the desires of our heart. And so we override it. If you think about kind of the issue of how God calls us to live into his call upon our lives as it relates to sexual ethics. That in those moments when we're making those decisions, there really is at the base level this wrestling within our hearts of, is this path of obedience that God's called me to the one that ultimately will satisfy the desires of my heart, or is there something else outside of that will that really ultimately will satisfy me? And it's rooted in whether or not you and I believe that God has created us and he's revealed himself in love and he's shepherding us into that path, even when all the other voices around are calling us to embrace some other path that might make us happy. The Sabbath is a good test case for this. When the Lord said, hey, nobody work on Sunday. Quick show of hands. How many of you, again, that sounds like a reasonable, great idea? Are any of you tired? If you're not, I am. Amen, Mark. Yeah, like we're tired, you know? And the Lord's like, doesn't necessarily have to be this way, you know? And we're like, yeah, thanks, appreciate that advice, but we can be more productive and fruitful and we can make more if we just kind of keep going. And you and I, we could kind of give all these different examples of whatever it is that God calls us to embrace in faithfulness and obedience, trusting whether or not we think that that will ultimately satisfy the desires of our heart. And it's often going to be rooted in whether or not we believe that God loves us and he's proven himself to be faithful in the past, so that when all those voices come around us in that moment, we say, I'm going to trust that God is loving. He has a track record of proving it to be so in my past. And I will just tell you by word of testimony, as I look back on my life, at every point along the way when I have stepped outside of God's revealed will for my life in hopes that I might find something that would satisfy the desires of my heart, at every point it has left me empty and wanting. And at every point when by God's grace I've responded in obedience to his call upon my life, I've experienced the joy that only comes through obedience to him. I'm not saying that everything in your life ultimately is going to be easy and be roses and sunshine. But there is a joy and a satisfaction in living in line with how God's created me to be, even when he doesn't intend to give me all of the pragmatic reasons for why. I was talking about that with my kids this week as we were thinking about what it looks like to live in obedience. And sometimes, hey, let's just pull back the curtain of the parents. Parents, I'm sorry. Sometimes they're wrong. Or sometimes they don't answer the question why. You know why? Because they're not really sure. But unlike your parents, God does know. Unlike your parents, God is the one who knows how you're created to function and thrive best. And if you've ever tried to reason with a kid on why they ought to obey, you know how frustrating that can be, do you not? You're just like, please just trust me with this. And I think God, in a manner of speaking, like, is looking at us in that same way. Please look at who I've been and how I've proven myself to be loving in the past, and I've guided you to this point. And as you move forward, allow my character to so influence how you think about me that even when you don't know why you're moving forward in this obedient step, you do it because you ultimately have a heart that loves and trusts the Lord. And now you and I live on this side of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And as we think about God's character, whether he's loving or whether we can trust him or whether he has our best intentions at heart. In those moments when we're asking those questions, how do we confirm in our hearts that God loves us? We look to what he has done for us in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. That even when we were sinners, even when we were rebelling against him, God shows his love for us in this. That he sent his son to die for us, that he forgives us of our sins, that he clothes us in the very righteousness of Christ. And here's the thing, when all those voices around us are trying to convince us to walk in a certain path that's outside of God's revealed will, and when those things crash and burn, do you know where those people will be? Nowhere. Nowhere to help you. And at every point along the way, even when we respond in disobedience to the Lord, his grace is such that when we step outside of his will, he loves us with this steadfast love and mercy and grace and continues to show his love for us and pursue us. So I challenge you to think this morning, what's one place in your life or one area where you feel like God's calling you to embrace obedience? And maybe you don't know how that's going to work out, or there's some fear in your heart or life that you haven't been able to yield to him to walk in obedience. I'm just asking you to be prayerful about that this week and ask the Lord to so remind you of his character and how he's proven his love for you in redeeming you through faith in Jesus, that he would give you a heart to trust him and move forward in obedience in response to who he's proven himself to be. And if you're here this morning and you hear this sermon or this topic or this truth, and there's a part of you that feels great grief and sorrow over places where you have been disobedient, here's the good news of the gospel. That if we confess our sins to him, he is just and faithful to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is that father who runs toward the prodigal son and welcomes him back home. And so wherever you are on that spectrum, there is good news for you in the gospel of Jesus. I invite you to pray with me. God, we thank you so much for your kindness and your love for us, and we ask forgiveness for not trusting you as we should. In places where we live according to our own wisdom or the voices of those who are around us who would try to convince us that there's something apart from you that might satisfy the desires of our heart, help us, Lord, to see past that and see to you, our good and loving and gracious Heavenly Father, who's guiding us into that which is ultimately eternal and abundant life in Jesus. Help us to hear your voice, to trust your character, and to walk in obedience to you. We thank you that no matter how many times we step outside your will for us, you are always ready to welcome us back. We pray that you would help us to walk in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus. We offer this prayer in Christ's name. Amen. If you're here this morning and you've never publicly professed your faith in Christ and you feel like God's calling you to do that, or unite with us and be members here at Mountain Brook Baptist Church, I'll be at the front to receive you, or if you respond by standing, singing, praying where you are, I invite you to join me as we stand together. Thank you again for your presence here. If you ever wondered, like, does it matter to others if I show up to church? Know that it at least matters to me. In part because it's an encouragement to hear other people of faith sing those songs around me. So thank you for showing up and being faithful. It means a ton to me. Appreciate your prayers for the family mission team as we go to Orlando. Some of them are there. Rest of us go today. Just pray the Lord would bless our efforts to try to help Horizon City Church engage with people in their community. The Lord might use us to point them to Christ and ultimately connect them to His church. Remember, 2 weeks from today, July 5th, Ethan's going to preach to the thousands that are gathered. Just kidding. We do hope that if you're in town and not off doing something crazy for 4th of July, that you'll come to church. And Ethan's going to preach that day. I'll be on the South African mission trip by then. And then I think Mark preaches on the 12th. And then Amy Hirsch is going to preach on July 26th. I promise I still work here in July. I'll just be kind of moving around a lot. And I really appreciate our staff who are so faithful to make those things possible. Invite you, if you would, to receive this benediction. Covenant God, your word tells us of your faithfulness in the lives of your people, and we have seen your faithfulness in our lives. May we confidently live in the peace and the hope that come from being your children, so that we may share your love with others. For Jesus' sake, amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.